Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for each and every person that's here tonight. I thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place. And I thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of grace who helps us. I pray that you would help us tonight, Lord, to understand, teach us, and guide us into truth. Oh, Father, I pray that it would be eternal truth, life-changing truth that's imparted tonight. And I thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. The prayer, Matthew 6, 9 through 13, Jesus says, in this manner, not these exact words, but in this manner, therefore pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I said a minute ago, Jesus gives us this pattern for prayer so that we could pray more effectively. I'm certain that's why the disciples were saying, teach us to pray. They weren't wanting to know how they could impress the Pharisees. They were wanting to know how they could have the kind of results that Jesus had. And I really believe that when we pray effectively, what's effectively? Praying effectively is when your prayers make a difference, when you pray and you get answers to prayer. And God is moving and working and you're seeing a results from your prayer. That's praying effectively. I mean, if we're just praying and saying words and nothing's ever happened, then that's not effective. So praying effectively is seeing God answer our prayers. And listen, when that happens, you know what else will happen? You'll want to pray even more. I mean, if your prayers are effective, you'll find yourself wanting to pray more and more and more because you're seeing God move and God work. So we want to learn to pray effectively. And as the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us. You see, there is a learning process. I said in the very beginning of the series that even the smallest child can pray a simple prayer and God can hear their prayer. But as a believer, we ought to always be growing and learning and maturing in our faith and have that attitude the disciples did of saying, I want to learn to pray effectively. I want to learn to pray better. Now, I want to clarify this again, just for those of you that might be confused by this. If you read the NIV or several of the other modern translations, they leave the last sentence here, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, amen. They just leave that out. And that really troubled me a few years back, and so I did a little investigating and study to find out exactly what the deal is. And so I'm just going to tell you, they leave that out because in their opinion, the translators of the NIV and several other modern translations, and by the way, I use the NIV. I've preached from it many times. But you just need to be aware that in their opinion, the oldest and what they consider to be the most reliable manuscripts, there's two of them, that do not contain this sentence. And so they leave it out. Well, the first thing I want to say about that is that it is, in their opinion, the oldest and most reliable. The other thing I want you to understand about that is that the church fathers, in other words, in the first and second century and third century, those who determined what was canonized scripture, those who decided what was going to be in what we hold as the Word of God, those church fathers used the manuscripts that contain this sentence, yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, amen. And they had the two manuscripts that the NIV and some of the modern translators say is more reliable. They had those manuscripts, and they chose to use the manuscripts. There were many, many more manuscripts that contained this sentence. So I know this isn't a real spiritual thing, but sometimes confusion like that just causes problems for people. And so I just want to try to clear that up for you, that this sentence does bear out with the rest of the Word of God. It's not some strange thing that was just stuck in the Bible. By the way, this may help you a little bit too. The same manuscripts that don't have this sentence, they totally leave out the story of the woman caught in adultery in John chapter 8. But since they're talking about 11 or 12 verses there, they knew that people wouldn't buy their Bibles if they took that many verses out. So they leave that story in, even though it's not in those two manuscripts. So you see the... Anyway, enough said about that. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. There's some important principles that I want to get to here tonight, but I first want to do a brief review before we really get into that last sentence. We begin our prayer with a Father mindset, that we are talking to our Father, the Father of our spirits. We are born of Him, and He is in heaven. There is nobody above Him. He is not of this world. He is the ruler of the universe. And we hallow His name. Though He is our Father, we come to Him in humility and awe and reverence for Him. We don't come to Him lightly or flippantly, but we come to Him with the utmost respect. We hallow His name. Then we pray, Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're praying for His reign and His rule in our lives and in this world. Jesus said that you know the kingdom has come because people are being healed and set free. I'm just telling you that the kingdom of God coming is something that's very real. It's lives being changed. It's an awesome thing. And we pray for His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, you see a picture of the perfect will of God. And oh, how wonderful that would be here on this earth. And that's what we pray, is for God's will. You know, we're never trying to get God to do anything that's not His will. How ridiculous, because His will is always the very, very best that you can get. So we pray for His kingdom to come and His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. We say, give us this day our daily bread. We ask God to take care of our needs of the day, not giving any thought, not worrying about tomorrow, but instead just trusting God today to take care of us, that He will always supply our need. And we ask for God's forgiveness as we forgive others. Whole lot of people don't like the way Jesus phrased that, and they can take it up with Him someday, I suppose. But He said, forgive us our debts as we forgive others. You know, this verse is about a cleansing. It's about a cleansing from our own sin. Forgive us. But it is also about a cleansing from unforgiveness, from the bitterness, from the offense, from the things that other people have done to us and hurt us and the wrongs, that we release that and we're freed from it. through this prayer as we ask for God's forgiveness, and we also extend that same forgiveness to others. And then we ask God for His guidance and His protection from temptation and satanic attack. We say, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, or the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. See, we pray all these things because yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Listen, he said, we pray all these things, right? And then he says, for. See, this is the basis for which we've prayed all these things. This is the why. This is the because. Because, for, yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. I'm telling you, this is why we go to Him with our prayer, because the kingdom is His. He is the King. He reigns and rules. All the power. He is omnipotent God. And He's going to get all the glory in the end. It is a proclamation of His greatness. I'm telling you, our God is awesome. And every time we pray, we should give Him honor and glory. Every time we pray, part of our prayer ought to be praise and worship, just to acknowledge who He is. He says, for yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. And the implication here is that it exclusively belongs to God. It's His. It's all His. Yours is the kingdom. When we say yours is the kingdom, we're acknowledging that He is the King, that He is sovereign, that He is in control. If we're going to pray effectively, that's what we want, right? If we are going to pray effectively, we have to know that ultimately God is in control, that ultimately He can do something about what we're praying about, that He has the authority, that He can do it. And I'm just going to stretch a few of you, I know, and challenge you a little bit, but I'm just going to share what I believe God's put in my heart. I've heard people talk about God's hands being tied, and I don't know what they're talking about. Because I'm telling you that ultimately He is the King of Kings. He is a sovereign God, and He has all authority. The only authority that anybody else has is what authority God has loaned to them. Because I'm telling you, it all is His. At least Jesus says it is, so you can argue with Him. Just read the end of the book. Revelation 11:15, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. I'm telling you, His kingdom is coming, and He's going to reign forever and ever. All the kingdoms of this world are subject to His authority. That's why He's called the King of Kings, because He has all authority. Matthew 28:18, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to Me in heaven and on earth. All authority. Jesus has the authority. I'm just telling you, when you're praying, you're talking to the one who has all authority. He is the King. Every knee will bow to His authority. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. See, that's the one you're praying to, the one who has all authority. You know, after the Lord humbled Nebuchadnezzar, this is what He said. I love this. declaration that he makes of the Lord. It's Daniel 4, 34 and 35. He says, "And his dominion is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven. And among the inhabitants of the earth, no one can restrain his hand or say to him, 'What have you done?'" Oh, people try. There are all kinds of authorities that try, but I'm telling you, none can challenge him. He has the authority to change your situation. The kingdom is his. We pray, yours is the kingdom. It belongs to him. And we declare that he is the King of Kings. And when we pray, we are praying with absolute confidence, because he is the sovereign king. I think we've kind of lost a little bit of the depth of the understanding of what a king is, because in our day and time, the kings that, well, there aren't many kings, but the few that are, they're basically just figureheads with absolutely no authority or power, or very little at least. But in biblical times, a king had absolute authority in his land. If the king wanted you to be put to death, you were put to death. And we need to understand that when we're talking about the King of Kings, he has absolute authority even over all the other kings. So when you're praying to him, you can't go any higher. You know what I'm saying? There is no higher authority. Say, "Well, would you like to have an opportunity to talk to the president?" He said, "Yes, I would. I'd like to give him a piece of my mind." Now, we think that's funny, but the truth is that a lot of people really deep down have the same attitude towards God. "Yeah, I'd like to tell him what he needs to do." You need to remember who it is you're talking to. The King of Kings, he has absolute authority, but you need to realize who he is. He is the King of Kings. Romans 13:1 says, "There is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God." Now, that may be hard to see sometimes, hard to understand. We think that the authorities that exist in our government are there because dumb people elected them. We think, "Well, my boss got his job because he knows the right people." But you know what the truth is? We just have a hard time with authority. I mean, we like authority as long as they do what we want them to do, right? Y'all are quiet on me, but I'm just telling you that, you know, we have a problem with authority sometimes. But listen, we need to remember that all authority came from God. But he is the one who ultimately is in charge. He is in control. You ever felt intimidated by the IRS? You get a letter in the mail and it kind of makes you feel... What is this going to be? The powers that be? Or how about the Central Appraisal District? There's a higher power. There's a higher authority. By the way, I'll just testify, the last time that I had to protest my taxes, I went in and I asked for them to lower the value of my house by a certain amount, and we went round and round, and I finally figured out, just believe it was the Lord showed me, you know, they had my square footage wrong. And I said, "You're counting my part of my garage is square footage." And when the truth came out, they didn't just do what I asked them to do, they did way more than what I asked them to do. I'm just telling you, there's a higher authority, whatever you're dealing with. Doesn't matter who it is, what it is. There's a higher authority. He is the King of Kings, and he has authority over everything and everybody. We just need to learn to trust him more. Remember when Jesus was brought before Pilate, and Pilate expected him to grovel, to beg him. John 19, 10 and 11 says that Pilate said to him, Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you? And Jesus answered, you could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. Here's this wicked king, wicked ruler, and he says, number one, you need to see this, that he's been given power from above. But number two, you need to see that he only has whatever power God allowed him to have. There's still a higher power. And if Pilate was trying to do something that was contrary to the ultimate plan and purpose of God, it wouldn't have happened. And by the way, the word power there is the same word that is translated as authority in other verses. But our Father has the authority to change our situation. Sometimes he doesn't because he knows things that we don't know. Y'all remember when Jesus tells the disciples in Matthew chapter 16 that he's going to be taken and he's going to be crucified. He's going to suffer many things. And Peter takes him aside and he says to him in verse 22 of Matthew 16, he says, far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you. But Jesus turns to him and he says, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. And here's why I'm sharing this. You see, sometimes we're the same way when we pray. We're only mindful of the things of men. We just see things from a human perspective, and we don't see what God sees. We don't understand and know all of the plan of God. Listen, if the princes of darkness would have known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They didn't even understand it. But God had a plan. He knew what he was doing. And you need to understand this. When you're praying to the sovereign God of the universe, the King of Kings, that he knows what he's doing. And you need to trust him. You need to pray with faith that's bigger than, God, you got to do it my way. You got to really trust him and know that he is in control. Well, if the sovereign God, I mean, if he's sovereign, why doesn't he just do what I'm telling him to do? You know, there's something wrong with that attitude, don't you think? If he's sovereign, why didn't he do what I... Because you're not him. You're not sovereign, and he is, and he knows the beginning and the end. And I'm just telling you that when we're praying to him, he has the authority, and he is in control. What if Jesus didn't go to the cross? Wouldn't we all be in a mess? You know, the cross was not man-made religion. You look at all the man-made religions of the world, there's nothing like the cross in any of them, because man would never come up with such an idea. Only a loving God who knew that he had to make the way for us. He has the final say, and we need to know that when we pray, he is the final authority on everything. And when we no longer believe that God has the authority, the right to answer our prayer, I tell you, we'll stop praying. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. We're acknowledging that he not only has the authority, but he has the power to do what we cannot do. He has the power to bring it to pass. There's not anything that he can't do. We need to know that when we're praying, there's great power available. That when we pray in faith, that's what brings the power of God into our situation and into our world. That's why we pray. We see God move as we pray, but it's God's power. He has the power. Now, if we really understood that, then listen, there's not anything too hard for the Lord. It would change the way we think about things. You see, it doesn't matter if you're praying about a thunderstorm or a hurricane. Well, we got a thunderstorm coming. We better pray. Wait a minute. This is an F5 hurricane. Pray. Listen, it makes no difference with God. It doesn't, with the Lord, it doesn't matter if you're praying about a headache or you're praying about cancer. One's not harder than the other for God. It might be harder for us to believe if you can believe, Jesus said, but it's not harder for God. One word from Him and it's over. Matthew chapter 8, Jesus is talking to a centurion soldier who wants Jesus to heal his servant, and he says, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. And in verse 8, he says, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. And Jesus says he's not found faith like this, such great faith, even in Israel. Hear this, Gentile has this great faith. He says, you just speak the word. And how true it is that just the Lord speaking a word, He has so much power in your situation. One word from God and it's done. The same God that spoke the worlds into existence certainly has the power to change your situation. So why do we pray all these things? For yours is the kingdom and the power. We pray these things because He has the power to change it. He has the power to move and work in our life. There's no limit to His power. Jeremiah said it in 32:17. Oh, Lord God, You have made the heavens and the earth by Your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for You. Yours is the glory. We are acknowledging that all the glory belongs to God. See, every time we pray, we should praise Him and glorify Him. We should thank Him for the answers to our prayer. We need to acknowledge Him every time we pray. Acknowledge that He's the one who makes it happen. And He gets all the glory. It's part of the key to effective prayer. Because we always struggle with pride. You know, people call it original sin. Not just with Adam and Eve, but with Lucifer. And we always struggle with that pride. Let me tell you, you see, if we don't give God all the glory, then we are in danger of a fall, of destruction. And our Father loves us too much. I wonder how often our prayers are unanswered because He knows that we would fail to give Him the glory and we would take it in pride and it would ultimately destroy us. I'm telling you, part of the key to effective prayer is to give God all the glory. We get none. The human tendency is, well, you know, I prayed about it, and then I did this, and I did that, and it all just kind of worked out. Listen, we need to be careful that we acknowledge that if we did something, it's because God gave us the wisdom. It's because God gave us the insight or gave us the strength to do it. As Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. See, if we're anything at all, it is God's grace. He says, I worked harder than them all. But then he says, but it's not me, but the grace of God working in me. I know that the Lord is growing this church. And I know that the Lord built this building. And I will not ever take any credit. See, I know that God uses people. Every single one of us, we are involved in planting and watering. We're all part of a body, and we all have a purpose. We're all supposed to be involved in the work of the ministry and working for God. But we don't get any of the glory because He gives the increase. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. If God doesn't do it, it ain't going to happen. Unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. It's God that does it. And not that anybody would want to, but I'm just telling you, there will never be a thing stuck out in the foyer that says, Pastor Mark Hill and these board members built this church. You can go over to certain city buildings here in town, and they have on there who the mayor is and the councilmen, and we built this. But I tell you, it'll never be so here because all the glory, all of it, not most of it, all of it belongs to God. And in our prayer, whatever we're praying about, you see, we need to get that mindset that God is going to get the glory. It all belongs to Him. And however He does it, however He chooses, however He works it out, we're not going to let man or the devil steal the glory. We're going to give God all the glory. Yours is the glory. We've got to acknowledge that He's the King. We're not in control. He is. He has the authority. We can't do it on our own. We don't have the power, the ability to make it happen. No, we need God's help. And so, you see, when we get there, are you following me? When we get to the place where we say, I can't control everything. I can't fix this. Now, some of you figured that out with your family, hadn't you? You see, you can't control everybody. You can't fix everything. But God can. You don't have the power, the strength, the ability to fix stuff. I'm telling you, He can. And when you get to that place in your situation, then you can give Him all the glory. That old self, sinful nature that wants to be self-sufficient. We don't want to be needy, but I'm telling you, we need Him every day. We need to rely upon Him and look to Him. And so we're giving Him the glory. If you pray about something, however it works out, you give God the glory for it. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. You know, part of this prayer is real similar to part of a prayer that David prayed when they had received offerings for a building for the temple, and the people had given willingly and extravagantly. It's in 1 Chronicles 29, 10 through 12, David says, Therefore David blessed the Lord before all the assembly, and David said, Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. By the way, this is one of the very few times in the Old Testament where someone referred to the Lord as Father. But what great insight and intimacy David had with the Lord. He says, yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord. And you have exalted as head over all, both riches. You are exalted as head over all, both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. David praised the Lord for his power, his glory, his victory, his majesty. And he said, it all belongs to you, God. And I'm telling you, in our prayers, if we'll start praising God, if we'll start acknowledging who he is, it will strengthen our faith. See, as you praise the Lord, there is a change in your mindset. There's a change in your perspective on things, because where your problems seem like mountains, when you start praising God and how awesome he is and how powerful he is, then those problems just get smaller and smaller. And I'm telling you, whatever it is that's a great need in your life, oh, how you need to praise God as the one who can take care of that need. And this is one of those areas where we ought to just always be growing, because I'm telling you, the more that you know him, the easier it is to praise him and to worship him. And that's something that we just ought to be growing in every day, is our relationship with God, our understanding of him, and till we just get to the place where praise is a huge part of our prayer, just giving him glory. Too many faithless prayers. It's so important that we pray in faith. The Bible says that if we don't pray in faith, or if we doubt back and forth, he says, let not that man suppose that he'll receive anything from the Lord. It's James 1, 6 and 7. But I'm telling you, often we fail to pray more because we don't believe more, and our small prayers are because we're praying to a small God. And I'm telling you, the more that you know him and you extol him and you magnify the Lord, you realize how big he is, and then we can pray big prayers, awesome prayers. But he has the authority and the power. He has the riches. Listen, he has the ability to promote you. He can give you the strength you need, whatever it is. But all the glory belongs to him. Testify of his goodness. Make it known. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. He is God, eternal God, the author, the finisher of our faith. We know who wins in the end of his kingdom. There will be no end. It is an unshakable kingdom. It's going to be forever. I just really like this verse from Revelations 19 and 6. It says, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude as the sound of many waters and as the sound of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. It's going to be so loud and forever, forever. Yours is the glory forever. Forever we will glorify him in heaven. One last word. Amen. Now, most of the time when we pray, people use the word amen as, okay, I'm done. Amen. I'm through praying. That's the end of my prayer. Amen. But the word actually means something besides that's the end of my prayer. It means, so be it. Let me just rephrase that just a little bit. That's kind of religious sounding. It means, so it will be. And it ought to mean not, well, I'm done praying, but It's done. That's what we're really saying when we say amen. I'm done praying because it's done. Amen. So be it. It's done. Amen. Oh, pray in faith. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Stand with me. Let's just pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us and how awesome you are. Oh, Father, help us to understand how one so mighty, one so powerful, one so awesome can be so close to us as our Father and our friend, to love us so much. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, what goodness, what grace you show us every day. And Father, my prayer tonight is that we would just grow in our relationship with you and grow in our prayer life. Teach us to pray, Father. Oh, Father, that we might see your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, to your honor and glory. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. 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 Well, I love you. If you need special prayer tonight, I'd be glad to pray with you. The Lord bless you. Make it a part of your daily prayer life. Amen.